Once again, we're going to interrupt the current sermon series that we've been on, the one that's entitled The Mind of Thankfulness. We are going to come back to it at a later date. And I've been thinking about this. Why is this happening exactly this way? We had to. Pentecost was obvious. That's why. We had to talk about that subject, obviously, because of the timing in the year. But we have a different subject that needs to be talked about today. And I think this will help us, too, on the series about thankfulness toward God, because in a mind of thankfulness, just how we think, because coming back to it regularly like that, I think will help us to focus on a little bit more, think about the things that are being said there a little bit more. Hopefully it becomes a little bit more of our thinking, because in thinking about that series, it's far more important than what we grasp. It really is. And that's what God is really showing us, that if we can grasp the magnitude of what is being said there on a greater plane, we're going to benefit mightily from it. So, today, we are going to use this time of opportunity to address another matter. And this new subject matter will also be a series. I don't know if it'll be one or two or three sermons, but right now it's going to be at least two. Something came up in a few different locations of the church that just recently here that would be good for us to address, as it does give a greater opportunity for us to learn from a very negative matter that by itself, unaddressed, has the potential to be quite destructive spiritually to some people in God's church. Because how some of these things have worked in times past, and as I was thinking about some of this, this hasn't happened in a very big way for a long, long time, but it's a good thing to look at to realize how easy it is to be led in a particular direction or to go in a certain direction that we don't realize the danger that's there. And we always need to be on guard. And so a lot of this sermon will be about some of that, but we're going to address an incident that just happened in order to become more properly equipped and to be more on guard spiritually, especially at this time that's now before us, because things are really stirred up. They are stirred up in the world, and they're stirred up around the church in the sense of understanding, if we grasp the severity of what's taking place in a particular spirit world, of what they see and what they know is going to come to pass. So this sermon, and possibly it is a series, I wasn't sure earlier, but it is a series, is entitled Trust in God. Trust in God, with this being part one. So something came to my attention this past week that has been spoken of just recently within a few church areas or a few areas of the church. Not very many involved, but I do want to say at this point here that because of what I'm going to discuss here, this is a good tool and a good opportunity. That's why I mentioned this. It is a time of opportunity to address something to help us to learn a lot of things from, and especially about this matter of really being on guard and what that entails, especially in this time that we're in. And again here, it isn't important to know where. It isn't important to know who. That's shouldn't even be discussed. So anybody that was a part of knowing about any of this or had discussion any of this, you're to keep it to yourself. That's love toward your brother, toward your sister in the church. It's love toward one another, and to realize that these kinds of things can happen at different times, and we just don't realize it. But it's happened quickly, and it's easily addressed, and not a big deal at this point in that respect. But in times past in the church, things like this have become a big deal, and it's taken a lot of people out of God's church in times past. So again, in this case, it's time to nip something in the bud. I don't know if they have that expression in different parts of the world, different languages. Sometimes they hear these expressions that I have, and they have to go find out, how do I translate that? Anyway, it's to bring it quickly to an end, to quickly address it, and to stop it in that respect. And the reason for that is that, again, it could have a very negative, spiritually harmful effect on some in God's church. So some of what will be covered here has happened from time to time, as I mentioned, in God's church. It hasn't happened in any big way since the apostasy. And before the apostasy, it did happen. It happened during the time of Philadelphia from time to time. And it happened leading up to the time of the apostasy, candidly. There are some areas that were hit by different things. But since that time, it's only been primarily with just individuals that some of these things have popped up, that people have come across on the internet or by talking to someone else, and it's caused some problems, and it's actually been a part of taking some out of the church here and not too far back. It's been a part of it, not all of it, but it's a part of it, because there's a lot more involved. There's a lot more involved at times here when something begins to come at us and we have to be really on guard of things that can make you spiritually weaker, but it depends on choices we make. And if we see things that are taking place, we can address them quickly and repent quickly and get our focus back to where we need to quickly. Sometimes when they go on for a longer length of time and there are other things happening in our lives, these things can be very devastating. So that's why we're going to address some of this. Let's turn over to Psalm 62. We're going to begin looking at some scriptures that we need to think upon and consider as we go more deeply into this timely matter. And again, this sermon is entitled Trust in God, because there are many areas of our life that this can affect, this matter of trusting in God. And though this is very specific why this is being addressed here, the subject matter itself is broader and can help us to address many other areas of our life that this can affect, some of this kind of matter as a matter of trusting in God. In verse 5, a psalm of David here, as he's thinking upon a very specific part of his relationship to God and focusing on what he needs to do, he says here in verse 5, my soul, in essence, it's like saying my life, if you will. In other words, he's saying within himself, this is what I need to do in my life. It's just another way of saying it. So this is basically how he's expressing this. My soul, which simply means my life, what involves my life, how I want to live, how I need to live, what I need to look at. This is how I need to live toward God. So he says here, this is what I must live in essence. That's how he's saying it. My life. Wait or stand still only upon God. Now, we probably feel in large part as a whole that's how we live our lives. But every once in a while, it's good to look at different aspects of our life and ask the question, how much are we really doing this? Can this become better? Can we do better at this? Can we become stronger at making sure that God is first? That's what it really boils down to. To trust in God is a matter of living this, that God is first. Our concern is how our life is before God, above everything else, how we're living it. So, as he says here, my soul, or how should I be living? What do I need to look at in my living, in relationship to my God? And so he says, my life, that which I must live, in other words, waits or stands still only upon God. Awesome. David was a great example of this, that God was so much at the forefront of his thinking, of his mind. He did things. He came to understand when he did address those things, when God brought it to his attention, he repented. And a unique relationship there of his desire as he grew spiritually more and more. Not with the church. He wasn't taught like we are. He didn't receive weekly Sabbath sermons. He didn't have the opportunity to read a lot of literature. They didn't have that kind of ability back then. And there were things that God gave to him. There are things that God gave to him in his mind and his thinking to work with him. But he was a man after God's own heart. That's what God says of him. Why? Because of this thinking right here. What can I do better? How can I better live my life before God? In essence, that everything in that respect that I wait, that I make sure that my life is standing still alone on God, not on myself, not on others, you know, not on the might of my military, though they got in trouble at times for doing such things of counting what they had, and they had to learn lessons from that, that your strength isn't there. It's not a wrong thing to do, but if you rely upon it, that's where the wrong comes in, and that's why they did some of those things. For my expectation, a word that simply means as in hope or focus, is from Him. That which we receive, that which we need. He alone is my rock and my salvation. Kind of interesting how some of these expressions here, how they're used. Some that literally mean a huge rock, huge cliff. There are times here the word Selah is used, or Selah, that has to do with like to Petra. And again, but there are others that have to do with a strong fortification. And so these are used in different ways. But anyway, it goes on to say, my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, or fortress, if you will. A stronghold, a place of strength, as it means. I shall not be moved. So if that's your focus, if that's how you're living, if this is how you want to stand, and you look to God in this regard, you'll not be moved. This is your strength. This is your life. This is what you can rely upon. It is our hope, our desire, our mind. But he's stating something here that's really very strong in that respect. He understands that if this is his focus, if he can have this kind of mind in himself, crying out to God to be able to have that kind of thinking, he'll never be moved. He'll never be moved because God's first and God will take care of him. He alone is my rock, my salvation, and my defense or fortress. I shall not be moved or shaken. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. Now, we can want that and we can desire that and we can pray about that. We should from time to time pray in such manner as this, that we're focused properly and that we're thinking about those things in terms of our everyday life. Because sometimes when it really comes down to it, that's not really what's always practiced in all situations. That's not the real or the true reality in all cases. We think we do sometimes. We might have those feelings oftentimes that that's what we're doing. But there are certain things that pop up, that creep up in our life at times that show that, no, we're not doing that all the time and everything in our life. And so those are the areas we have to need to focus upon and bring into or rein into control, if you will. So he says again here, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, because that's what this is all about. That's what it means when it comes to putting God first. It's a matter of where do we put our trust in things in our life. Is God in the forefront in thinking, in decisions, in choices we make? On and on it goes, because that reveals whether or not He really is our trust, where we're placing our trust. So it says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. A man after God's own heart, this is what you do. You pour out your heart before God. He knows everything about us anyway. He knows everything about our thinking that's not as it should be. He knows everything that needs to come into alignment with His way of life. He knows how to transform us, to transform this mind. And it's a matter of our learning how to yield to that process and grow in that ability and desire it and cry out for it. I hope we do that. I hope we pray regularly about God transforming our minds. That's something to be so thankful for, that He's changing the way we think, that we not just continually live on without change from period to period to period of time. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Think upon this. That's what it means. Meditate upon this. Take time. How do you do that? Well, one of the best ways is in prayer, to break it down, just like the outline of prayer that Christ gave. That's just an outline. And so we have to beat it small, like the example of incense that's given. Beat it small. You know, don't just throw something out there and in generalities or whatever. God wants to, He wants to share in our life. He wants to be a part in our life. He desires to dwell in us. If He's going to dwell in us, and we want to dwell in Him, then we should be willing and wanting in that way to break down our life before Him and to be honest in all things before Him. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is in the eternal. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So often in life, until we come to a time that is a little more major, not normal daily living, but something comes up, whatever it might be, finances, health, etc., on and on, conflict, whatever it is, when it becomes more important in the sense of being stirred up and it affects you more, whatever that might be, the impact in your personal life, those are the times that we hopefully, for sure, tend to look to God more, though we don't always do that first. I think of a really good example. When we get sick, when we get ill, what do? I'm guilty of that. I've done it, especially men, I think. Unless you're in the bed and you're just totally out of it, you can keep doing whatever. What about doing what God says? Asking God for healing, asking God for help, asking God, what do we do? What are we supposed to do when that happens? Call on the elders of the church. It doesn't happen as much as it used to in many cases. That reflects something, a trust. First, doesn't mean that God's going to grant it to you. And there are times that God gives it to you immediately. There are times it might be a few weeks. There are times it doesn't happen at all. And we're going to talk about that later in the series. Because that's a good way of putting this to the test, whether we truly trust in God. We might believe that we do, but the reality is, where do we go first? Trust means, when you're talking about this kind of trust, means God is first. He's in the forefront. We go to Him first. You know, don't just try to tough it out. You know, if it's keeping you from work or hurting your ability to work, then where do we go? Well, we should go to God. And that doesn't mean over every little thing that comes along, little sniffles, whatever. You know, there are some things that happen, but if you're at a point where you're hurting, your body's hurting, your life is hurting, whatever it might be, it doesn't have to necessarily keep you from work, though we've used that as a kind of test or whatever that we've, rule of thumb that we follow, have followed. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be something that inhibits your ability to work, that hinders your ability to do things in a normal manner. And so it's good to look to God. And the eternal shall help them and deliver them. It's a promise. Absolute. And we'll talk about that, different aspects of this as we go along. He shall deliver them from the wicked. That's the primary thing here. From the wicked, or even the wicked one. The wicked in the world. The wicked in a demonic world, which is really stirred up. Has been for a long time, but it's like it's getting some fresh stirring up again. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Didn't stop there. There's a reason why. And it says it. Because they trust in Him. And so if we really place God first and are truly looking to God first in our lives and are learning to live that way more fully in our lives, keeping our eyes focused on God, His intervention in our life, His guidance and direction in our life, all the things that David talks about in so many of the Psalms. If we truly trust in Him, God intervenes over and over and over again. And we've all experienced this whether we know it or not. If you've been baptized into God's church, you've experienced this at different times. Sometimes we don't recognize it as quickly as we should or understand it as soon as we should in many cases, but it's a reality. It's an absolute truth. And that kind of goes along with the sermon series we're interrupting here right now in a very powerful way. In God's church, He teaches us of proper balance. You know, that's a tough thing to learn. I think of the history of the church mainly at the end time here, starting through the period of Philadelphia, and how it takes time to develop balance. As a matter of fact, Philadelphia went through a long period of time of certain things that had to be restored to the church, and understanding of those things on a spiritual plane in a more balanced way, because there were so many people in the church, the ability to work with so many areas through so many in the ministry demanded something different in growth and how growth could be worked with on a larger scale. And because of that, it has taken time for balance to grow. And candidly, God had saved some of that for maturity, for maturing, for the ability for things to be restored, and then how that's going to affect us up here and how we respond to God, hence Laodicea, rich and increased with goods, and what we have to learn from that. And then, after we've gone through all that, after we've experienced that, especially in this end time, to be able to come to a point in time of something so massive that happened in God's church, speaking of the apostasy. And then, after all that experience and being able to have a better focus or a better vision of what we've actually lived, because looking back sometimes, that's how you learn. You can learn so much by errors and mistakes and a growth pattern through time. And if you're able to grow in that and learn from those things, then you become wiser in how to do things going forward. And that's how God's worked with us. He's given us a wisdom. He's given us a soundness and a balance of mind that is a beautiful thing to live. It's good to have greater balance and soundness of mind because there are more rewards in that and richness and fullness of life in that, more joy in life, the stronger that becomes. Because before that takes place, I think of one area alone. I think of people that used to get all Twitter-pated about Jell-O. You can't eat Jell-O. It's from pigs. And all the things that people went through. And it was like, and then people would offend others. Because as soon as someone came into the church, someone couldn't wait to tell them about clean and unclean laws if they hadn't heard. And it's like, this is my opportunity to teach. I'm sorry, but sometimes these things really rile me up. Because I've seen so many people hurt by that kind of thing. Because it's like, we're going to show you. And you're going to bring Jell-O to? You can't bring Jell-O to a potluck. And a lot of thought wasn't given to it. And God in time began to show us, now wait a minute. There's a chemical process. You're not eating the flesh of pork. You're not cooking the pork. You're not eating it. And there are a lot of chemicals in this world. I took chemistry. I understand it pretty well. It was my favorite class. I did really well. In high school, it sounds a little bit like Trump. Anyway, I don't mean it that way. But I didn't even have to open my book in college because once I got there, we had a group of people, three of us, that did the best of this particular class this guy had ever had in school. And we finished the book a month ahead of time. He let us use any of the chemicals we wanted to, and we made explosives. We made all kinds of. Anyway, by that I mean fireworks. People are like, I knew it. He's crazy. But there are chemicals, and there are processes for chemicals. There's extraction. People used to go nuts about where does calcium come from? Well, if it came from something in the ocean and, well, now wait a minute. Calcium is calcium. Are you eating the flesh of the little thing there? Or is there calcium that's being extracted as a chemical? And different things like that, you know, that sometimes take place. And so we have to learn. We have to learn soundness of mind and balance. And there are many things we've gone through in the church to learn some of the soundness of mind and balance. And it takes time, especially because of our history. Anyway. And so in talking about this, in God's church, again, He teaches us of proper balance and how to trust in Him and yet do for ourselves where we can. There are things we can do for ourselves. There's a balance in there. If there are certain things we can do for ourselves, we should strive to do it. God has given us a lot of ability. I mean, this thing of even healing has taught so much in the church about balance and looking to God and trust. And yet there are people who have had such a battle with this because I've known so many people worldwide that couldn't take an aspirin. It was sin. And they're still out there in the scattered body. I hope there are none in this body like that. But it's like if you take it, you don't have faith in God. You're not trusting in God. And there's a balance there. There are certain things for my bypass that I could have made a choice on. I don't take this particular thing and, well, it's over with. You have a choice to make. Mankind has been given great ability for many things, and it's amazing what they can do. But the thought of, in times past, of someone going in and cutting something on a body and doing something to help you on the inside was almost forbidden in the thinking. And if you haven't lived that, it's hard to understand that. But for those who lived it, you can understand it, what the process is there, and how to get balance, how to become balanced. That's why, not even getting where I'm going. This is definitely going to be a series. I think of different things that have happened in the church, and there's so many things that can be talked about here, and they'll pop up from time to time, but I'll pass this one up so I can keep going. So sometimes, again, some of these things, even about balance, we have to understand it takes time. And we just continue to grow, and thank God He's giving us more and more soundness of mind and balance, because that's a beautiful thing. A soundness of mind is really a beautiful thing. Today in the world, you don't see much of that. Really. It's soundness of mind. There are people out there today, they're just nuts. On TV, some of the things, I'm glad it's coming out, but because there's some things said prophetically about it as well, and about news, and about the news media, and how they function and how they work. And there's a word that's used that helps to describe some of this, and it's kind of like the word pharmacy. The word in the Greek has that in it. And it's like this drugged effect and the impact they can have even in a very negative way as far as that which is practiced in religions that is demonic. That's what the scriptures talk about. That's paraphrasing some of it. And I think today of some of the things we're seeing out there where people just... I wish I could think of the one term they're using right now concerning the president. It's not Trumpophobia, but it's something similar to that. But it's like people, they just hear the name and they can't think straight. And some people just go nuts in their thinking. Soundness of mind, it's not there. Knowing they don't even realize what they're twisting and distorting. That doesn't mean that I'm saying that everything is good that's being done, because we all make mistakes and none of us are perfect in this world, but there's a kind of lunacy out there right now. There really is. And it's coming out more and more. Sad. Anyway, soundness of mind is a beautiful thing. I love soundness of mind in God's church, because the more balanced and more sound we are, the easier my job is. It really is. It's so much easier. And I'm not one who likes drama too much anymore. I saw 3 years of adults so insane in how they lived around each other. I learned something about drama from adults that I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And so when I come back in this environment where we have the ability to have soundness of mind, where we have the ability to have the kind of knowledge and insight and understanding we have of how to live, the impact of recognizing we have no excuse for having drama in our lives. We absolutely have zero excuse for having drama in our lives. And yet, society and the world today, it's as though people thrive on drama. Now, does that have anything to do with trust? Yes, it does. We have to learn to trust God more in our lives and how we're living and look to Him and being number one in our life and wanting the soundness of mind, wanting to live His way of life, wanting to see our lives corrected and changed and have more joy and happiness and peace. Peace is a beautiful thing. And it comes from right thinking and right living. So God teaches us soundness in so many things in our life and warns us of real danger when it's potentially before us, and of knowing when we are to more fully place our trust in Him and to flee from placing our trust anywhere else. And so that's what we have to be cautious of. Where do we place our trust? What are we doing? How are we living? So how much of our lives do we truly place in God's hands? That's something each one of us has to ask. His care as a matter of trust, because we can think we do, but so often the actual way we're living in different things reflects something different. So there are so many areas of life, again, in which we should think about this trust and help that can come more fully from God, because God wants to give us that. He desires to help us in that as we focus more fully upon Him being a very part of our everyday life. So, again, this thing of trust can have great impact in family life, in health, in protection, in finances, safety, etc., etc. Now, there are many things out there that Satan uses in all these areas of life to entrap us and to mislead us. He is exceedingly cunning. He really is. He likes to use so many things in family life, just like I got through mentioning here about drama. He likes to stir up drama. He likes to get us off course, off focus, to become so focused on the drama that we don't see other things that we need to be focused upon. He is a master of that, and he broadcasts those things, and so does the demonic world, at us. And then we have to make choices. Am I trusting in God? How can this not affect me more directly? How can I be in greater control of my thinking and of my life and of my circumstances to where I can have greater peace, et cetera, et cetera? And those are the kinds of things that happen just in that area alone. So he desires to entrap us and to mislead us. He works at getting our eyes off of God and onto something else, whatever that might be, whatever it is that we don't see something clearly. And so this is a very broad focus in that respect when you talk about trust, because it affects so many different places of our life. But we have to focus in on the specific areas of our life individually and ask those very questions. How much do we trust in God? Where, indeed, are we really truly placing full trust in God? What better place to have your life than in His hands? What better place in life than to surrender yourself, to be surrendered to Him? You can't go wrong. So again, he wants to lead us away from God, away from His church, away from His ministry, away from God's truth. That's the way he's worked forever. It's the way he worked through Philadelphia, Laodicea, and that's the way he still works around the church today. Satan seeks to turn us away from God and seeks continually for ways to distract, to deceive, and embitter us toward God even. His church, or His ministry, or His people, from God's ways and God's truth. So we're going to look at this matter that I mentioned in the beginning that's stirred up this particular focus we're looking at here about trusting in God. It's a very specific area, but I've known it in times past to lead people out of God's church, different areas. Some areas have been impacted more by this, and it's primarily because of this thing of a demonic world, because of how they work. And there are just some regions of the country and the world where they abide, and there are more of them, it seems. I don't know why that is, but the evidence of some things that have happened in times past in God's church. I could mention certain areas where they tend to be, where there are more of them in that respect, it seems, because they've had a greater impact upon people in those particular regions. And sometimes that's even reflected in some of those cities because of the kind of impact they have. They're powerful beings. And they can lead to horrible things that take place in this earth. They're masters at it. They've been around for a long, long time. They've been around mankind for nearly 6,000 years. They know us inside and out. They know how the weakness of human beings. They know how we think. They know where our weaknesses are as far as the human flesh is concerned, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And they know how to do little subtle things to try to get at us. And we all have to constantly be on guard, crying out to God to protect us, to strengthen us, to help us to be aware of anything that might come along like that. Anyway, what we're talking about here specifically involves the use of pyramids and various elements as resins and stones and crystals in a desire to protect oneself from harmful things in our environment or for healing, as a matter of fact. And this can include protection from chemtrails left by jets, protection of health from other things in our atmosphere that could harm us physically, to potential protection from harmful things in our food or just general environment. And that's how these things are used or practiced, the things that are done here. But anyway, there has been a history of different kinds of things that have happened around God's church. I want to mention one that happened not too long ago, right down here in northern Kentucky. Black helicopters. Black helicopters led some people out of God's church. Got all excited about certain conspiracy ideas and theories. I don't know what they saw when they actually saw a black one, because a lot of them are black. And if you actually see one going across the sky, it's like... Anyway. Some of the things that sometimes happen, but it happened, and you think, how could that lead anybody out of God's church? Well, it happens. So again, black helicopters. Ideas of certain groups who control the finances of the world and governments of the world and so forth. And there are certain organizations. Conspiracy? Yeah. If you want to call it that in one respect, because Satan's involved in those things. Satan's involved in causing great confusion in the world and power struggles and all kinds of things. But as far as individuals having that power and ability, it doesn't exist. They don't exist. Governments, peoples, organizations have always sought to have greater power and greater influence in the world. There are certain rich and certain very rich in the world who try to do that on a regular basis. Do they control? No. Do they have some control? Do they make more money? Yes. Yeah. And there's a being behind a lot of that, obviously. And there's this thing of chemtrails left by jets. Conspiracy, you know. Ideas that the government, whatever it might be, and I'll talk more about this as we go along, but different ideas that come out about what this is all about. I knew somebody not too long ago, but that was a part of his life. And talked about it. So much so that my wife and I, to this day, when we're walking and we see these jet things going across, it's chemtrails. It's a joke with us because of what happened and of the poisoning that's taking place. Government supposedly behind some of these things, or just because of the poisons there, because maybe they're trying to control certain things in our weather or whatever it might be. There are so many different ideas associated with this. And so they're saying of black helicopters, secret agents of a new world order, or some in the U.S. government or from the U.N. who were planning secret militia operations in the U.S. for possible takeover. That's a common thing that's been out there, either from the U.N. or from the U.S. government or whatever it might be. And so the black helicopters were part of the proof of this process. Chemtrails is a theory that's involved in a wide range of speculation or belief, such as the government doing this in order to manage weather through solar radiation modification or other means, potentially being used for psychological manipulation. There are all kinds of ideas out here about what these things are. The cause of any respiratory or other health problems, being used as human population control. See, this is around the world. These ideas aren't just here in the United States. There are different places around the world, and so different places have different ideas about some of this. Probably being used a lot in China if it's population control. Anyway, or even for some kind of biological or chemical warfare. I'm not even going to worry about getting into the science of that one because it's not that hard. God's church does not delve into such theories or suspicions. And on the contrary, whenever we hear about it, we try to nip it in the bud immediately because it has taken not a few out of God's church over time. Has the power to infect an entire church area. We're talking about big churches way back then. Different ideas that have come along. Different thoughts that have come along that have led people astray. We do not trouble ourselves by such stories or fears. The Bible says a lot about that. We do not promote or give any credence whatever to such things. On the contrary, we flee them. Now, if in the future something comes out that somebody did something, well, shame on them. Governments, people have done a lot of things that are bad through time and shouldn't be any shock, but we as a church do not get involved in those things, and there's a reason why. Because it tends to lead or be a part of leading people away from being focused upon God, upon His truth, and then to resist when it finally, if a person gets to a point in time where they believe something for so long and it's so solid a part of their life, and they begin spreading it around and trying to warn others in God's church as an example, which is what happens, and then the ministry comes along and says, no, this is not to be done. You're off base here for what you're doing, then they can't take it. It's a spiritual problem. And they can't receive the guidance and direction of God's church. And so other things happen in their lives, as an example. Those kinds of things have happened. Then there have been attempts for self-preservation, for protection or even healing by looking to man-made objects that can somehow, even mysteriously so, protect us or heal us from different ailments, environments, and or diseases. You have to be careful here. You have to be careful you don't become unbalanced in a specific area. You know, you can become unbalanced by relying on the medical world. You can do you great harm. You have to be very careful. You have to make personal decisions and choices as to what you do and don't do, how long you may do something and how long you don't do it, or whatever. Those can literally be life and death choices that people make as to what they do. And sometimes if they go too far with something, it can be very detrimental to them health-wise. I've known of people who have had so many kinds of medications they're taking and things that are going on that they start messing up their bodies and their minds. We have to be careful. So there's a balance there. There's a reliance and a trust in God, to look to God, to be in prayer with God about various matters and choices and decisions we make, and everyone's responsible for their own. And so there's the natural side too. So if it's natural, because we tended to do that a lot in God's church, because if you can't take an aspirin, what do you do? Well, you go out and find something that is pretty much like it in the world. Anyway, so you try to do it by natural means. There are things that are natural out here that are good for us. There are things out here that we can benefit from that man doesn't understand. Some things that have been lost. But sometimes people can go too far in that as well. There's balance. I've known of people who have right candidly brought themselves to the point of death because they have misused that in their lives. So you can go too far with things to where it can actually kill you as much as relying on the other side of it. We need balance from help from God. To do things in moderation, to strive to do the best you can, frankly, just in foods, to do the best you can. And if there's something else you can do, I've tried different things that are more natural in that respect as far as the world is concerned. But there's a balance there. And you don't want to get too far in any direction in things you do. Does that make sense? There is a balance in things in this world. And you have to be careful. And you have to be careful as to how much emphasis you put on it in your mind. That can be a danger, say. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So we're coming into the midst of a description here of time, of things about God's church, of things about Joshua the Christ, of things about how God has worked with the church, and a being that's involved through all this period of time, Satan, and God's dealing with him and the demonic world. And so there have been times that God has said here in that respect that that the church was set aside, taken care of for a specific period of time. This referring to years of a time period within the environment of the church. And then it goes on to talk about in verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. It's hard to understand some of these things in a spirit world. And the reality is, God can do and stop anything at any time. He has the power to do it, but that's not his purpose. He lets the angelic realm have part as much as he's given mankind a part of what you're going to live and how you're going to live it. And he's allowed that in the spirit world as well, where they actually have wars. Now, this is kind of hard sometimes, I think, for us to grasp and comprehend. But if we can comprehend that God has allowed mankind to do this, there were those in time who looked to God, who, with a limited ability on a physical plane, looked to God, hence Judah especially, Israel, when they split off, they didn't look to God, period, from then on. Talks about every one of them following the sins of... I'm trying to think of the guy's name now. I'm glad I forgot it. I just remember he's the son of Nebat. Jeroboam? Yeah, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. See, I knew who he belonged to, I just couldn't get his name out. Just kidding. Thank you. Anyway, Jeroboam. Anyway, that's the history of Israel. But before that, in the beginning, and God gave them favor. God intervened at times for them, but he let them have wars. He let them fight. And again, these things are sometimes difficult, being in the church, to grasp and comprehend. Why? Because God could stop all war through 6,000 years if he wanted to. And what would we have learned? How would we have profited then? We don't understand sometimes what it means that God has given us free moral agency and the ability of choice. He doesn't control. There's a being who tries to control. He seeks to control. But God doesn't. God just gives free choice. And then it's up to you how you live your life. And who do you have to blame then? Only self for the choices one makes. And only in that can there be true relationships in time with God. Only in that, through choices that people make, like the angelic realm who chose God's way and continued to follow that way, and those who went against it, and then on earth, mankind and how people have lived. Incredible. Choices, choices, choices. God lets us have those choices, all by design and purpose, over a long period of time, that even in the end, if you will, during 100 years, because people have experienced different segments in time, because they've experienced those things of what it's like for nations and people to have free choice, that's the way God can transform our minds and work with us to show us His way, to show us what it's like when we fully live our lives our own way without God and fighting against God, not wanting Him involved in our lives. We have to go through that. We have to learn that. There's no other way to create Elohim than what God has given. That's a beautiful thing to understand. And so through time here, it says there was war in heaven. God allowed it. Could have stopped it. But He's still working with 2/3 of the angels, the angelic realm. There are still those who are sharing in His purpose and His plan, and have been for possibly, we don't know, trillions of years. We don't comprehend such things. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels and did not prevail. Neither was there a place found anymore in heaven for them, in essence. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. So before that, there was a time when he still had access to be before God, to come before God at different times, spoken of in different places in the Old Testament. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Now you try to tell the world that the whole world is deceived. Well, we're not. Our church isn't. It's a toughie. And God will bring mankind to a time when they have to come to recognize, if they want to make the choices God places before them, yes, we've been deceived. We've been deceived. The whole world, every religion out there, except God's, the truth of God. It's amazing. He deceived the whole world in so many things. Who deceives the whole world? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Speaking of the demonic world, the demons. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation has come, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before God day and night. Incredible scriptures here, and what God has revealed to us through time of what these things are about. And it goes on to say about those who are part of the church when it's talking about here. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Blood of the Lamb, direct reference to the fact that he's our Passover and we can be forgiven of sin. That's how the process begins. That's a powerful tool, an ability that God has given to us, that every time we sin in life, we can go before God and seek forgiveness of sin, and He forgives us. And that's the only way we can continue on in a relationship with God. It's a beautiful thing. And it says, and they did not love their own lives, if you will, even unto death. There are many people who, that's what it came down to, live or die. And they were willing to die, whatever happened. There are many people who have gone before us. Thinking about that the other day and how thankful, how grateful I am for all those who made it easier for us, because they have. They really have. You think of all who've gone before, who've made it possible for us to be at a place where we are now, to receive so much from God, to be at this particular moment in time, and all the suffering of things they went through because the world so hates God, has always hated God and God's ways, but hated those whom God sent. Christ gave different parables and talking about some of those things and those who were sent, and even his own son then that was sent, and how he was treated. Killed him. And that's the way it's been. So a lot of people through time that have gone before us have had it really hard when it comes to physical life and dealing with things like this. The early church, it wasn't easy for them. That was pretty tough. Especially when the Roman government began to come after people. Then you talk about 325 AD, and the Roman government is coming at you even more so because they got rid of Passover and instituted Easter, and they begin to outlaw or go after those who kept Saturday, the Sabbath, the seventh day. Those things that have happened through time, it's hard for us to grasp. They were out for their lives. We don't have anybody out coming after our lives on a physical plane. We have such peace. We have such prosperity just because of technology. We are so exceedingly blessed to come to this time. Well, those who went before us, you thankful for them? I am deeply so. I'm deeply thankful for Paul and the example of things written in Scripture about him. He's given me strength and help in ways because of his example, because of what he lived and what he went through to realize I never, never, never have anything to complain about. Never. Because of that man. Puts things in perspective. Doesn't matter what we go through. 7-hour delay in a flight, big flipping deal. You know? It's a whole lot better than bobbing around in the Mediterranean for a day and a half or whatever it might be. You know? You think things are tough? Think it's inconvenient? Yeah, it might be inconvenient for a little while. Yeah, suck it up. You know, no big deal. We're so blessed. The human mind is an amazing thing. How we think. How we compare. So, again, going on here. Just reading some more of what it says here. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens. Notice the timing here of things it's talking about here. You realize, and as you go along here, it's getting closer and closer to the end. It's going through a process here of time where it started out in a story flow here, and then the more it goes along, the farther it goes into the story here in chapter 12, the more it's getting close to the end here and where we are now. That's what it's building up to. And so it speaks of those things. Now, I want to back up here, 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation has come and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him again by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives, own lives, even to death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, because he's no longer around. What a beautiful thing. When he's no longer around, he's no longer around in our environment doing what he does along with those who followed him, stirring up drama, stirring up all kinds of things in their presence. Not anymore. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath because he knows that he has but a short time left. Now see, the farther we go, the more this becomes far more real in life. And so we have seen things take place through time about what he's done and what he's stirred up. He's behind every great war that's ever taken place. He's always in the forefront of it, right at the forefront. Every major revival of any kind of war that's ever taken place, Satan's there. He loves the death of human beings. He loves it. He loves them killing one another. He loves it. He loves governments that hate each other. He loves it when people hate each other. He loves it. He loves it when people are in misery. He loves it. He rejoices. That's what makes him, that's where he gets his excitement in life. He's so perverted. So sick in the mind. He so destroyed his own mind, the mind that God gave him that was so precious in the beginning. He knows that he has a short time left. Awesome. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man. Now, there are a lot of things that can refer back to what happened from the very beginning, from the time of Christ, and referring to the church. But he persecuted the woman which started from as a result of what Christ went through and died and so forth. I do want to back up here. I forgot to mention this. When it talks about him being cast down, Mr. Armstrong felt that that took place when the government of California came after him. And other things that he was given to see and to know, whether they be prophetic or things that occurred, I tend to believe that's what happened. And if that's the timing of it, even more so to realize now salvation and strength. We're almost there. That's basically what these verses are talking about. We're almost there. Because what is it about? As it says up here, now salvation is come and strength. In other words, it's like it's in your grasp now. It's almost here, that timing. See, I lived through that period of time, and there are a few in the scattered body who lived during that time who are a part of God's church today. At a time when he was cast down and seeing what he's been doing, knowing that he has but a short time because Mr. Armstrong understood we live in the end times. God gave him to see those things, begin to talk about what was going to happen in Europe. Incredible. And what is it about? Now salvation has come and strength and the kingdom of our God. It's almost here. That's what it's focusing upon. You know. And the power of his Christ. Awesome. Because it's all building up to events that lead right into the period of time when God establishes finally his kingdom on this earth. And so again, it talks about him knowing that he had a bit of short time left. And he primarily even knows above and he knows that because he was cast down, but he knows because of what God gave, if you will, to Mr. Armstrong. It's the end. It's the end of the age. And the knowledge, because they didn't know. They don't understand. They don't understand. That's why they look to the church and what God gives to the church. And so when Mr. Armstrong began to talk about some of these things and about the revivals and knowing full well when he was at the point in time at the end of the sixth revival, when he understood there's one more in front of us, there's just one more, you know. And Satan knows full well then there's certain timing here that God is going by. He doesn't know fully what it is, but he's cast down. He can't return. He's only restricted to this earth. Power has been taken from him, more power. God has been taking away more and more of his power. And candidly, the stronger we are as a people, the less power he has. I don't know if we understand that. That's a powerful thing to grasp and understand. And so he persecuted the woman. He tried to destroy it. Caused some problems and some difficulties here and there, but it's God's church. A lot of people were, the primary thing that I see was the benefit of it all. It was like a vacuum cleaner. Here's an area. Clean up these bad areas. Suck up the bad stuff. Get it out of here. People who aren't dedicated to this way of life, people who aren't faithful to God, faithful to God's church, because it's God's church. You know, some of these evangelists, a lot of them, who had already gone off track, teaching other things, having different ideas, it just helps to get rid of them. That's what it did. A lot of things happened during that period of time when California did what they did. A lot of things finally came to the surface. And then God gave him greater strength than ever before to finish what he was given to do. Awesome. Came back stronger than ever, seeking to put the church back on the right track. I mean, you look at our history sometimes, and it's a marvel because God's in it and God's doing it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to experience and live and to be able to look back and put it all together like this. And it says to the woman here, where she was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness and to her place where she's nourished for a time, time and a half a time from the face of the serpent. We know now what that's about too. Now we're getting down to the end. We're getting closer and closer. And we had to have 3.5 years after an apostasy to be protected so this being couldn't fully destroy God's church. God wasn't going to allow it to happen. But he was going to allow a lot of it to be scattered. A third went back to traditional Christianity. A third just quit because they're so disillusioned. Where is God if this is his church? How could this happen to God's church? Well, that's the question that needed to be asked. But what is the answer? Where is God's church? And that's what people fail to do. To hang on, to hold on, to strive to live the way of life that had been given to us. That's why timing right now. We have learned that from 2008. 2012, better yet. It's not the day, it's what you live. It's what we believe and what we live that counts before God. That's why some of the things in the poster are mentioned. We have come to that point in time realizing more deeply than ever before, this is God's church. We have God's truth. And we must live it with all of our being. And whatever God leads us, ever how he leads us, we're going to follow. If it's another year, so be it. Do I want another year? Absolutely not. And I believe with all my being, we still have 2019 here. But I also understand these measures of time and how God's been doing this. That's why it's very clear that if it were to go on, that we could have a year that could fit into the definition of a year of the Lord very easily if God desires that. But what bothers me is if it were to go on beyond that, I hope we understand it would have to be another 7-year cycle at the earliest. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it has to be on a Pentecost when he returns. And 3.5 years doesn't get it. There's a way that God works. And more than ever in God's church, the testimony and the witness of that is in chapter 7 of the last book. Those things of timing are so dumbfounding as to how they work out, how they come out, what they mean, what they signify. It's just incredible. That's all I can say. And so it says here, there was a period of time after the apostasy and finally by Pentecost of 1998, we were settled. We had to go through certain things to get to that point or we would never, it was the only way and God knows how to work with us. We had to come to a point where by 1997, we did not know what to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. In my mind, the last thing we could do was to have our own because to me that was presumptuous. And I can't tell you the battle up here. To do such a thing, I couldn't do it. Because for God's name to be someplace, you have to know with all of your being, this is God's. And so we knew that the ministry had been scattered. The organizations were scattered. So where is God working? He'd proven to us already. He's not where we were first situated because we had to learn some more lessons there. We had to learn that a half of that ministry as a whole, guesstimated, believed in a 14-15 Passover. We had to see certain choices and decisions some would make or fail to make because they wouldn't stand up for God and God's way of life for God's people. It was about protecting the organization. It was about protecting the ministry. It was about protecting self. And I've seen that, what it led to in the apostasy. So to know where to go, we went to different areas. We scattered out to different areas. And we found out, and God made it really clear, he's not there either. So by 1998, we knew well before Pentecost, we have to do this ourselves just as much as we're keeping Sabbath services and striving to hold together, to strive to live this way of life. And then by that period of time, God brought us together, and we were solid as to where we were going from that point forward, and had our own feast then in Niagara Falls. Awesome. So we had to have 3.5 years of protection. We had to have that time for God to mold and fashion something within us, because it takes time to work with human beings in a right way and to mold what he knew had to be molded within those of us who came through that. Wouldn't have worked any other way. Awesome. So a beautiful picture here of things we understand now that we have learned through time and what God has given to us. And so the woman were given wings of a great eagle. Another just means protected. We were protected as his people. A remnant was. And brought together and finally back on course. A remnant church established by that point in time. In verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. What a beautiful, beautiful description of something very sick. Because it pictures how he works. And it pictures how God took care of us and protected us through that process, candidly. And the earth helped the woman. That's how God planned it. Knowing what he would do, what Satan would do, and knowing how to best work with the remnant people. Scatter us all over the place. And bring us under one message. That's what God did. And not what we had in the previously. And then he would drive the point home over and over again. What we need to be doing, where we need to be, and so forth. And the dragon was wroth, angry with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Beautiful expression. We know who we are. And it's not over with. But God's made us stronger. That's why I marvel when I talk about that 4.5 years. It's far more powerful and far more meaningful than what we really grasp yet. Though we've been received posts about it, though we've had sermons about it. And that which took place in our lives during that period of time and what God did with us on a spiritual plane. Who keep the commandments of God. What a beautiful thing. And have the testimony of Joshua the Christ. That means that witness, that testimony is in us. It's in our lives. It's in the truth that God has given to us, all the truths that God has given to us, because it's the only way to have what we have. And that witness is there in our lives. 2005, only one almighty, ever-living, eternal, self-existing God. Awesome. And now to cap it off toward the end here. Not Jesus, Joshua. It cleans us up so beautifully. It really does. I love it. So again here, the focus of this is to understand there is a being who will try anything and everything to come at you, to get you distracted. And what we're looking at in part here in the context of this as well is the incident that I've mentioned here in part that I'll talk more about here in a moment. Because it's very subtle how things can come at us. But all these things that can happen in our life, whether it be health issues, you know, I think of one person that I know of that made a comment not too long ago that if they have such audacity to say such a thing, and then I have the strength and will to repeat it. How could God let me suffer like this after all I've given to his church? Tithes, offerings. I think, got to repent of that one quickly. Sad. But God can use different things to try us, to test us, He does. He allows different... In other words, he just allows various things in life that are going to happen to us naturally to take place and use those instances that happen to us individually to see where we are, to bring things to the surface. And then he works with us in the midst of that. That's such an awesome thing to understand about how God works with us. And we all go through many different things, but he allows certain things, rather than preventing them, he allows them to happen. So the very reason some of those things happen are so that we can find out where we are. It can be a tool to help us know where we are, because then God can give to us those things in our mind to see, or through sermons that we can begin to receive, because that's how he does it, on a spiritual plane, so that we can correct our course. That's why if we have drama in our life, okay, let's figure this one out, because it shouldn't be there. You know, if we're not getting along with one another, if we're not getting along with one another in God's church, we better check this, bring it, better get a hold of this quickly. You know, or on and on it goes. On and on it goes in different areas of our life. Matters of finances, whatever it might be, that can be a catalyst that affects us. But God can use those to help us to see something in ourselves that we couldn't otherwise see. But if we refuse it, then there's the problem. And we have choices to make, whether we receive the guidance, the direction, the correction that God gives, or whether we resist it and fight against it. And that's what it's always been all about. And it's a matter of yielding ourselves to God and trusting in God to mold and fashion us, to know we are in his church and we have the blessing of him living in our lives, and we in him and his son, and them living in us. And if we have that, and we're whole, and we desire that with all of our being, and we want to see where we falter, where we make mistakes, so that we can have that course correction, so that our lives can be filled with a greater joy and a fullness. And we'll be reading some more scriptures about some of this. But what else would we want but to be in his care, to be in his hands? Do we know that? Do we trust in that? Because sometimes that means maybe we haven't really fully surrendered everything about our life, that it's in his hands. That's why you trust in him. You're in his hands. You can't work everything out in your life your own way. You know, you can't do things your own way. Sometimes it just go adversely against principles and truths that God says we should be doing in the first place. It's a matter of yielding to him, that he's in the forefront, that I want to do it the right way. What is the right way? Well, that's the only way we'll come to the right answers, if we ask questions, just as much as those who were dismayed when they said, how could this happen to God's church? And so they just, what's the answer? Just quit. Just don't have any religion at all, because I'm so dismayed by religion, by people in religion, because they let you down. Things don't go perfectly. Things don't always go well. No. Someone says something, I'm tired of being hurt because someone said something. You know, if this is God's church, it should never... Well, get real. Get real. We're all human beings. We all have faults. Look in the mirror. That's all it takes. Sorry. Now let's focus on the latest matter that's emerged among some of God's people concerning the subject of chemtrails, and that of the use of a pyramid-shaped object that can help protect from those things and their effects or whatever as well. And I highly recommend that people listen to what God gives to us through an apostle and trust in God as to how he leads us and what he says to us. And that no one should go and delve into any of these matters by any kind of reading and research, or you're just asking for trouble. So that's something that's always dumbfounded me about, sadly, far too many, because it hasn't been a few in God's church, who in some idea of doctrine or some belief that someone comes up with in the church is like, well, Mr. Armstrong doesn't see this yet, but I've come to see this. And you need to see it too. That's how it comes across sometimes in conversations that people get into. And the mind and the thinking that sometimes goes with this is so irritating. So irritating. blows the mind. But it's just a little bit here and a little bit there of things that can lead people astray. And people can latch on to those kinds of things, to different ideas and different thoughts, and begin to build them up in their mind. And I, again, have been dumbfounded by the number of people that feel like they have to have, oh, this happened here locally not too long ago. Let's have our own little Bible study. Oh, Mr. Wineland going to be there? Is Ron going to be there? Oh, no, let's have our own little Bible study. Let's all get together here and we'll study the scriptures and we'll study some of the things he said here not too long ago, and we'll go through some of these things. And you think, well, what do you think that's all about? What do you think that's for? It's to lead you astray. And what did it do? Sucked them up like a big vacuum. Well, this one just took a little one. Got rid of them. Thank God. I hate when people make choices and go away, but if they make those choices, then thank God when they leave, because it cleanses the body. I don't like to see anyone leave the body, but if they're going to hurt others in the body, I know God's desire, and that's my desire. It's Christ made very clear in Scripture. Protect the flock. Protect the body. Protect the church. Shelter the church. Care for the church. Kill the wolves. Kill the lions. That's what David did. So it's a desire to get rid of that which hurts. And so I am glad when that which is so harmful will not repent and leaves. It's the only way. Because otherwise, the history of God's church through time is it causes so much damage. And the sooner, auf Wiedersehen, dos vidania, sayonara, good riddance. Thank God. I'm serious. That's the way I feel. So strong about that, okay? Don't apologize for it one iota. Because it's about God's people. And it's about the protection of God's people. Anyway. So how many of those people wanted to go and have their little special things where they go into and study the scriptures and see something that obviously some aren't seeing, others in the church aren't seeing, but we got this one. This has happened over and over. This is nothing new. This has been the way it's been ever since I've been in God's church since 1969. Different groups, different peoples to get together. That's what happens so often. And so they want to delve into these things. And then the audacity for people to say, no one's going to tell me that I can't read that. You know, some book comes out. It says, what was that one called? Can't think of the one. The first one who left of the individuals that started an organization, not Garner Ted, but the one after that one. I don't want to mention his name right here. It's a flurry of things that happened after that. That one. There was a book there. Anyway, I remember giving some sermons down in Franklin, Pennsylvania, and up in Erie, Pennsylvania, at one time, warning people, you got to be careful. There are things here that are very dangerous. And it's like, because people did. There are those who did. No one's going to tell me I shouldn't read a book. Who do you think you are? I can read it. I'm in God's church. I have God's Spirit. I can read it. And then what happens? They go bonkers. They lose soundness of mind. God's Spirit's gone. And before long, they're doing crazy things. They're doing weird things. Sometimes they really are doing some really weird things because they made certain choices. Dealing with demons in some cases and some of those things that happened. I remember giving a sermon one time. It was a sermon, wasn't it? Or a Bible study. Both, I think, down there. And I knew there was a force and a power fighting to where, anyway. God let me experience some of that, what it was like. That there were those beings there and the power they were exerting on certain ones in the congregation. And there was just a force, a power, perverted and sick, rebellious, evil, all those things that are there. And that's eventually what happened to the vast majority of those people. They succumbed to that. They gave in to that. And some turned really, really bad spiritually. Anyway, so we have to be careful. So I remember different sermons at times and different things that came out, and sometimes warning for God's people to help them be careful of what you read that's written by a religious scholar in the world. By going to the Jews and trying to find out what they have to say about certain subjects, be careful. Because that's what's pulled people away. Every case where people have been pulled away doctrinally, it's been because they've gone and filled their minds with garbage. I remember a book that went out written against Mr. Armstrong. Filthy, perverted, sick, lying. And yet people, just like today, people go on the internet, and because it's on the internet, like, it's got to be true. No, I'm sorry, it wouldn't be a book, it'd be the internet. And they're reading these things and like, yeah, I believe that. You know, because sometimes human beings want to believe the worst about others. And it depends on where you're coming from, just like today. So there are certain people out there that want to believe the worst. I feel sorry for them because I know a little bit about what it's like. My wife and I did. What it's like to be attacked. What it's like for your whole family to be attacked and be filth that's put out there on the internet. And some of the things that news agencies and things that they do in a disgusting, filthy way. I know the being behind it all. I know who's behind it. There's a powerful being behind it. All for a purpose, all by design, all working in a certain direction. But look at the numbers of people who look at something and say, yeah, it must be. So that book that was written, there were some people that got caught up in that and led them right out of God's church. Because if you know the truth, if you know God's church, if you know the truths that God has given you, if you know your calling, if you know why you see and understand the things you know, why would you go anywhere else to find any truth? Why would anyone go to something else that you know by a little bit of thinking can't be true? Because it's not from God. So if it's from a particular religious organization, some kind of scholar out here who has some kind of religious belief of some sort, why go to that as any kind of an authority? That's why I used to hate hearing any kind of sermons that were given that used to always bug the you-know-what out of me. To hear different sermons given and somebody would go to what so-and-so has to say about a certain scripture. I don't give a flip what they have to say. If they're in the world, what they have to say about certain scriptures or doctrines. Who cares? They're deceived. How can that be any kind of proof of anything that's true? Hold on to what you know is true, to the trunk of the tree, of those things, first of all, that God restored through Mr. Armstrong, and then the blessing we've had of building upon that. Anyway, I mention these things because these things happen over and over and over again in God's church. You have to be on guard about everything out here. You have to be on guard about what you allow into your mind. See? You have to be on guard about what you read. You have to understand that the swill you read on the internet is not all true. Do you believe that? It's not all true. Matter of fact, you can pick almost any subject on earth, and you can find both sides. Both sides. And if you give it a little bit of time and just think about a few of the things they say, they both sound, well, it sounds pretty logical and some, well, no, I don't even bring the logic into it. Anyway, it has a measure of intellect. Maybe that's a better way because I don't like intellect in the sense so much of intellect is that's noted as intellect is not too intellectual. It's kind of like the evolution theory. Not too bright. Anyway, sorry. I need to keep going here. So again, I highly recommend that people listen to what God gives to us through an apostle and trust in God as to how he leads us and what he says to us, and that no one should go and delve into any of these matters by any kind of reading and research. I'll guarantee you if you do, knowing what you know now, you're not going to make it. That's how dangerous some of these kinds of things are, especially when you know it. And you go against what God says and what God gives, and you delve into things. For what purpose? It's a spirit. People don't realize sometimes what they're monkeying around with. Many of the things that are out here in this world, it's a spirit world. And it's there. And candidly, the vast majority of stuff on the internet is not there to our edification and to our good. There is a being who uses it, who is very powerful. And the vast majority of it hurts, destroys, and on it goes. It truly does. That's why we had the warning about Facebook very early on. And there are people who didn't like that. Yeah. Tough. I don't care. God inspired it. And look at them now and all the stuff that's out there. There are reasons why we don't mess around with certain things in this world. So again, it's indeed here a matter of trust and how God works with us and leads us in His church. And by that this time, we should have that deeply embedded in us. We, all of us, truly should. And now we'll look at different sources, what they have to say on this subject here. So I'm going to do quite a bit of reading here because I do want to go ahead and get into some of this. Several sources that promote the use of physically made devices of various forms and construction that can be used to help protect oneself from such things as chemtrails and even other physical things in our environment or illnesses even. Also say such things that can help, like the following here. One company states that these devices can help protect from EMF, electromagnetic radiation, and help promote energy balancing. As they state, we need to consider electromagnetic field protection from phones, domestic appliances, power tools, and even our cars. Well, let's just get the horses back. If we go all the way with this, let's just get the horses back. Okay? Get your bicycle out. They all radiate EMF and impact our health and well-being. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some things that are harmful to us in this world, and we're going to get this straightened out in a new age. Okay? We're just at the beginning steps of technology and things that are out here. Our electromagnetic field protection products provide shielding and keep you, I need this, calm, stress-free, healthy, and sleeping better. I can use that. I'm sorry. I'm going to have trouble with some of this. Further, these products are guaranteed for keeping you calm and balance, and I've been talking about balance, but the balance I'm talking about doesn't come from this. It comes from God. Okay, soundness of mind, soundness of thinking, balance. Supporting your immune system and working to keep you well. That doesn't mean there aren't some things we should strive to do to be healthier. You know, there are certain kinds of vitamins that some people may take. There are certain ones that I take, but I've cut them down dramatically as to some of the kinds of things I'm taking because I've come to find out that if you take a little bit too much of certain things, they can create certain other things in your body, and you don't want that, and blah, blah, blah. So there's balance and everything. You know, moderation. Moderation. And we're not getting everything out of foods, yes, so I'm not bombasting those things, but I'm giving a caution that we shouldn't go to the other side of that as well, to where we just become kind of nuts about that side. You know, there's a balance. Further, these products are guaranteed for keeping you calm and balanced, supporting your immune system, and helping to keep you well. And here are some more of such claims. As stated, that you most likely need EMF protection if you are often stressed, depressed, have no get up and go, and feel generally under par. Now I wonder how many people that catches. Especially if you're getting older. If you didn't stop the growing process here. So if you have any of the following symptoms, you should not delay in trying our 30-day money-back guarantee. Most of these things are about money. Headaches. Here's some of the things they say it helps or can help. Pretty much if you read too much of it or a lot of it, just pretty much got these covered. Depression, insomnia, poor memory, learning difficulties, rashes, dryness behind the eyes and in the throat, swelling of the main membrane such as nose, throat, ears, and sinuses, flu-like symptoms, aches and pains in muscles and joints. Nausea, sexual difficulties, shortness, they cover everything. Shortness of breath, dizziness, cardiac palpitations, sensitivity, I typed something wrong here, the inability to be near anything electric, cancer. They threw that one in there too. Let's just get it all. Try these 30-day money-back guarantee things. Here are some of the products one can buy to protect and become more healed from these and many more physical illnesses and diseases. Now, in the next sermon here, I am going to go into some of the science, so-called, behind some of this and why these things have the kind of recognition that they do even in that respect. So here are some of the products that one can buy to protect or become healed from these things I just mentioned, and many other physical illnesses and diseases. Many of the things sold on the internet are listed as PE ball or bowel devices. I just like to call it BAL. Anyway, which stands for Pyramid Energy Balancing. PE ball, B-A-L, B-A-L, BAL, BAL. It was really close. I'm sorry. Pyramid Energy Balancing. I'm sorry, but I really can't help myself in some of this because I can't. It says the first here gives a protection of up to 18 meters or yards. They're close. This is for EMF shielding, space clearing. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Space clearing. That means if I place it in the house, things will clear up better. I won't have to clean as much. I don't know if that means that. And negative energy balancing. PE balancer, or the PE ball as it's called, for only $149. It states quantum physics. Okay, I don't know how many people who read things like this would know what quantum physics are, who has really studied into it. Man, it sounds good though. And that's why they do it. Quantum physics has proved that any negative energy like electromagnetic radiation and geopathic stress can affect our ordered energetic systems, debilitate us, and cause sickness and suffering. Well, yeah, our bodies do have a tendency of getting out of order sometimes. We do get sick. But man, oh man. Anyway, the PE Bell delivers swiftly and effectively with us. The PE Bell stands at 4 centimeters or 1.6 inches tall and is handcrafted with a cast metal casing. It is in itself a delightful ornament or paperweight. And no one ever needs to know that it is anything more unless you choose to tell them. So in other words, you can have it in your office and people can just see it as a nice ornament. They don't need to know what you really think. If you're a little embarrassed by it or something. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm going to have a hard time. The engraving of the four sides indicates its purpose and our intent. So they have these nice little designs on all four sides because it is a pyramid-shaped device. So they do have four sides to work with there. And they do have symbols they can put on the sides. And it has this appeal to people because it stands for protection, if you get into this, infinite love, healing, and zero-point energy. Then you can order the Zen Stone set of three. Hope, peace, and love. Now these can be stacked for what they will say will give protection for a mighty 29 meters, up to 39 yards now. So now you can stack these stones, and they're special stones. And you can stack them on, and you can pay a special price. For them as well. And they give protection because they have certain energy that, and we'll get to some of that later. And then I love this one here, the negator shell. It's like a seashell. It's actually a shell, and it looks like they put silver over the top of it or something, and they got that in Florida pretty cheap, and then they just pour a little silver over it and sell it for another hefty price. It's only $129. And anyway, it's an EMF protector, an energy balancing device gentle enough. Now this one's gentle enough for babies. That's how it's advertised. Balance from a real seashell. And it protects for out to 9 yards as well. And it can be put under a pillow because this one is really good for insomnia and night terrors. It's also advertised as transportable without the need of any batteries or wires, whereas some need batteries and wires. When I first read this, I thought they got to be making a mistake because this is all about getting away from electric devices. And you mean they're actually making some of these pyramids that have to have them plugged into the wall? What's wrong with you? That goes against everything you've just told me. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. And then, of course, there's the very handy... I'm pretty sure they pronounce it Kibal. It's K-I-B-A-L, or Kibal. Or mini P-E-Bal. It is the same kind of pyramid as mentioned before, but mini. Smaller and attached on a keychain. Hence the Kibal. And only $89. But it's powerful with a range of up to 12 yards. So there's this feel around you for that far out. That gives you that kind of protection. Then there are many pendants one can buy, like the, the Numi N-U-M-E, the Numi Skinny Pendant. It's a skinnier pendant than the one they used to make before that was a little fatter. Now this one's skinnier. The Numi Skinny Pendant that can give protection up to 6.5 yards. It states that this pendant is that of the same technology and protection as their mighty P.E. Bal is, but includes the addition of scalar waves. And this is something I'm going to talk about later on. Of scalar waves, and I hope I get this right, the salfeggio, that's the pronunciation, the salfeggio frequencies to give your health a greater boost. Now, some of these things, they're supposed to have a scientific background and why they're bringing some of these things out, and they use Tesla a lot, is it Tesla? Yeah, it was Tesla. And they even try to throw Einstein in there. But if you get Tesla, AC current we have today, things of that nature, a mind like his. But if anybody knows the life of Tesla, they might give a little more regard to thinking about some of this, because he wasn't really real sound in everything he did. But anyway, that's another matter. So later in this sermon, we're going to come back to scalar waves. That's going to be covered. But right now, this matter of this salfeggio frequencies, I'm going to talk about that. Salfeggio frequencies, I'm just going to read this as it's out there, were sound frequencies used in Georgian chants, one of which was the great hymn of St. John the Baptist. The special tones of the salfeggio frequency were used to unite man with his maker. Forget about prayer. Forget about baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, but a lot of these things in the world, conspiracy theories, things about different devices that people can use, different ideas about healing, they have a lot of this new age, old new age, because it's kind of old now. I don't know if they call it the old new age now or not. But some of these ideas, and it's not new, but it really is old because it goes back to mysticism and things of that kind, and it's demonism. It's demonism. A lot of it comes out of India and different practices they had there. That's where Tesla went. He actually went to India, and he had this guru that helped him to come to see certain things. This is where he came up with the scalar idea. Anyway, going on here. What it says. Used to unite man with his maker. They did this by undoing all the conditions and conditioning that cause separation from source. I don't know what separation from source is, but it doesn't sound good. I'm sorry, I can't help myself in some of this. It's kind of like to me, it's a lot like this thing of the Trinity. It's a mystery. You can't understand it. Don't try. It's intellectual. Be it physical The separation from source. Okay, here it is. Be it physical, mental, or spiritual. The Selfeggio frequencies were so effective that they undermined the power of the Vatican so that they were conveniently lost and went into oblivion for a very long time. So if you mess with the Vatican a long time ago, they buried a lot of stuff. Just like we know they buried a lot of scriptures and they have things there that nobody else has in literature. So they got a hold of this one too and buried it because it was a threat to them. It was due to the inspired Dr. Joseph Pleo, that the Selfeggio frequencies were rediscovered. This is explained in the book Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse by Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Dr. Joseph Pleo is a neuropathic physician and one of America's leading herbologists. Don't ever want to read any of this stuff. Who began his research in the Selfeggio frequencies in the mid-1970s. See, a lot of these things, you can go too far. You can go too far in something even physical and natural that gets messed up with a demonic world because they don't want you to be sound and balanced. They want you to be unbalanced. And yet, I'll tell you what, these things have been around. They come around God's church ever since I've been in the church. Different ideas that we come up with sometimes that we think is something new or something exciting, something that might work. But I think, where's your life? Is it in God's hands? I mean, is it really in God's hands? Yes, there's balance. And yes, there are things we are to do. And there's balance in that as well. So we should seek balance and soundness in how we deal with things. And so that's what God desires of us. That's what he desires of us, to exercise those things. Like when you eat, to eat the best you can, yes. You know, primarily not to eat unclean foods. But in our society and so forth today, there are all kinds of things that come at us. And so you do certain things in moderation. Some things you do strive to keep away from to be a little healthier. But those are personal things and so forth. But anyway, everybody has to judge these matters, but not to go off on different tangents to the far right or to the far left, but to strive to be as close to a balance as we can, because there's only so much we really can do in life. And that's where you place your life in God's hands. Trusting in God that those things that are harmful to you, that he will protect you. Not some device, not some stones, not something on a keychain, whatever it might be, but in God, who is real, who is all-powerful, who is almighty, who desires to be very much a part of your life, who desires to see you put your trust in him, because you really do, because you really do put your trust in him. Going on. Oh, I got to read this one. This Pleo, a doctor, of course, and of course, a neuropathic physician, one of America's leading herbologists, who began his research in the Selfeggio frequencies in the mid-1970s, in his examination of the Bible. It's amazing how often these things come into play. Mysticism, the mystic religions. In this case, here it's the Bible. And he found in a place in Numbers that I'm not even going to mention, the chapter and the verses and so forth, because I don't want anybody going there and thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa. Anyway. He saw a pattern of six repeating codes around a series of sacred numbers, 3, 6, and 9. And when he deciphered these using the ancient Pythagorean method of reducing the verse numbers to their single-digit integers, the codes revealed a series of 6 electromagnetic sound frequencies. Wow! That's just dumbfounding. That correspond to the 6 missing tones of the ancient Selfeggio scale. Powerful stuff for healing. I'm sorry, but it's nothing but demonism. Demons are the source. They're the source of this kind of, dare I say it? Yes, crap. Okay? They're the source of this kind of stuff. Sick, sick, sick. And they want to lead people away from anything sound. If they can just, any area of life that they can get you away from moderation and soundness, and a sound mind, they will do it. And they're powerful beings. They're not stupid. They're perverted. But they know human beings. Now I want to return to something here because I'm going to take up this whole time because I want to get to a certain point here. I got to get through these little things that this one section offers, different things for sale. Let's notice a little more about the new me skinny pendant. Okay? It states that with the addition of scalar waves in the self-fegio healing frequencies, that it makes these pendants much more than just a standard EMF protective pendant. Scalar waves work in your own energy system, and so it will keep you calm in any situation, help eliminate stress, boost your energy levels, aid your immune system, and ensure that you're protected 24/7. Trust in God. Trust in God. That's what it's about. And lastly, I can't help but mention one more product on another site. It's called the Fresh and Alive Scalar Energy Rest Shield. It's a little more pricey. It's at $399.97. Or you can buy three at each at $349.97. And this is an AC-powered, scalar, subtle energy device that promotes, again, this one you've got to plug in. See, the other one didn't have any wires, didn't have any electricity. This one you've got to plug in. I'm sorry, but something doesn't seem to jive here. You're trying to protect yourself from this garbage, and you're plugging this thing in, and you're paying more for it. It's stupidity. This is an AC-powered, scalar, subtle energy device that promotes deep sleep, helps relieve stress and stress-related issues, helps to reduce or eliminate jet lag. See, we could have used that this week. We had a tough time after flying all night from Hawaii and all the way back to the States here and felt like a zombie. Anyway, relaxes the body and mind, reduces the effects of electromagnetic pollution, helps improve performance during working hours, waking hours, and more. This is basically a pyramid-shaped device that is about 7 inches high, and a wide in a pyramid shape. Just place the rest shield within 20 feet of you, plug it into a power outlet, and turn it on while you are asleep to sleep deeply, or while awake to make you more relaxed without feeling tired, lethargic, or dumbed down. I hate feeling dumbed down. I don't know about you. Also improves plant growth. So if you have a brown thumb instead of a green one, hey, this will help the plants grow better. Also improves plant growth. The Rest Shield is a powered subtle energy device that emits a type of subtle energy called a scalar field. We're going to end on some scriptures here. Psalm 91. We'll end here today. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells, it says in the secret place, but it's in the shelter under the protection of the Most High. It's about shelter and protection. So he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide or live under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we are. We need to understand that and place ourselves there, desiringly so with all of our being, to place ourselves in God's care and God's hands, indeed, to trust in Him. I will say to the Eternal, my refuge and my fortress, that's what it's saying. I'm going to say to the Eternal, in essence, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God? In Him will I trust. It's God. And everything about our lives, we take it before God. That's what we do in prayer. We take things before God. We want to do things God's way. We want to repent of sin. And we, in decisions and things we make that are important in our lives, we want to include God. You know, there are things we can pray about. I think about praying about and asking God to be with us and what things we do, even in whatever it might be. You go enjoy a walk or something, and it's God's creation. What a beautiful thing. It's a matter of sharing it and being thankful. It's a matter of thanking God for it. On and on it goes. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the trap. That's what this is about. There are many things out here that there are beings that want to entrap you, who want to get you focused on something different. They love that. That's why this thing of drama in society today is so bad, because it doesn't take a lot to get a hold of us sometimes and get our focus on something that just distracts us from prayer, from God, from the truth, from excitement about what God is doing in our lives and gets us wrapped up in something else to where that becomes a weight on us. And from the destruction, that's what noisome means. It means destructive pestilence. I love this one here because it comes from a Hebrew thing that has to do with words, things that are spoken. So that which is spoken, things that are said from, I think of things that are on the internet today. There are things that are spoken, things that are said. And they're there to entrap so often in life. There's so much that can lead us away from soundness of mind and cause us to become unbalanced. And that's what we pray about. We ask for God for help that in Him, to trust in Him more in different things and not to fall into different traps, whatever it might be in life, that might take our focus off of Him, that so often come from things that are spoken, that are written. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. So that's why I love that other song we read in the beginning here, because David is just candidly saying, my life is in Your hands. That's the life I want to live. And if I trust in that, basically he's saying, I've got it made. Nothing can move me. That's what he said. Nothing can shake me. Nothing can move me because the great God of the universe is with me, protecting me, strengthening me, shielding me, giving me everything that I need, giving me soundness of mind. What else do I want? And where else do I want to get it from? I want it from God. That's what I'll trust in. That's where my reliance is. Do I have to make decisions along the way in some things? Yes, but I include God in it. I pray about it. That's what we have to do. That's what our mind has to be toward God. We want to include God in it, to seek the balance, to seek the soundness of mind. And when it's all said and done, that He protect us from anything that might harm us or hurt us, whatever that might be in life, in whatever activity of our life. His truth shall be your shield, your armor, your protection. Oh, boy, it truly is. The stronger we are in the truths that God has given to us, the more deeply those are embedded in our being and in our mind. It's a powerful thing. It's armor. It's protection, indeed. You shall not be afraid of terror by night. You don't want to be afraid of things that are out here. Yes, there are things that are out here. There are things in our food. You can't do everything perfect. You can't protect yourself 100% from everything. And everything you eat and whatever. You can strive to do better. You can strive to do the best you can. Even in that, there has to be a balance. And sometimes financially, you're forced to. There are certain things you... So we're caught in this. And what do? You look to God for the protection, for the help. That's what we have to do. Because you can't do it perfectly. So what you can do on your own, what God does help you to see and understand better in some things, you should strive to do. You know, people are finding out today that there are certain things. I'm beginning to learn about some of this myself. There's gluten stuff. I'll tell you, there's so much stuff we've damaged and hurt. And there are people who are so sensitive to some of these things. It's amazing. Didn't know about such a thing until found out about it from Australia, you know. And Chris Matthews, she's has an intolerance there, and it affects her, hurts her. And comes over here and eats things, and you know some of those things that we have to be careful of. And in the beginning, you couldn't even find it. Nowadays, people are becoming more attuned to this, and it's amazing what you can find out there. And so I'm just saying, we have all kinds of things that come at us, and so you can only strive to do the best you can, and look to God to lead, guide, and direct you, and help you to have balance in all these things, because there are real things out here that hurt us. You know, mankind's so greedy; he's so destroyed just the basic things of food. I think of corn today. There's corn up in North Dakota in some areas of the United States, not just there, but I'm just picking on North Dakota. People don't even like to feed to their cattle. It's worthless. It's worthless. They know now it's worthless. Anyway, man is so meddled with things, some of the most basic things of life. Anyway, going on. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. So sometimes we can become fearful of certain things. Certain things come along, hear different things. So God says, don't be afraid of those things, of things you hear, of things. Strive to do the best you can with what you can. Strive to be moderate in how you handle things in life. If you learn something and God helps you to see something in a certain area that's good for you, so be it. You know, some things might help one person that don't help another. But strive for the balance. But most of all, strive that God be your trust. Because you can't do everything perfectly. You can't protect yourself perfectly. You need God's help. You need God's intervention. I don't worry about it. You can't worry about it. Nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness. You know, they're beings, and this is the words, the things they do, the things they throw at us. You've got to be on guard, spiritually on guard. That means you have to be close to God. Nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. So anyway, I've gone over time. We'll continue on next week in part 2.